Anybody know he's all right? Won't God bless you? Won't God keep you? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Won't God lay his hand on you? Won't God strengthen you when you feel down? Won't God lift you when you feel down? You lift up your head unto the hills, for whence cometh your help? For your help comes from the Lord. Do I have anybody that say, I know Jesus is my help? If you know he's your help, I say, ain't he all right? I say, ain't he all right? If you know he's your help, you ought to say this with me. I may not know anything else, but I know. Say, I know that the Lord is all right. I know he's all right.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of St. John, chapter 3, verse 16. St. John, chapter 3, verse 16. Begin reading now. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to talk about four aspects of God's love. Four aspects of God's love. You know, when I read the Word of God, especially in my devotional setting, I've shared with you before, I take my time and I walk through each verse, especially the verse that screams out to me, look at me, I've got something to say. And John 3:16 is one such verse. I know it, you know it, we know it, but yet there is so much more to know about it. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, comma, that he gave his only begotten son, comma, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, comma. But have everlasting life, period.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Now. Now. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. There are three commas, one period in this grammatical markings of John 3:16. It's so important to understand what is really being said in this verse.
Come on, doctor.
The first aspect that I'd like us to look at concerning God's love is God's love, number one, is excellent. His love is excellent. Somebody say, God's love is excellent. Listen, his love is excellent because God himself is love.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And love is God. And so we must recognize that because God is excellent in his nature, the very love that he possesses is excellent. One of the things that I want us to note about his excellent love is his graciousness. Graciousness. Listen, as I study more about God and I study more about his love and I study about how gracious God is, it tends to help my focus to realize that if it had not been for the grace and the graciousness of God, we would not have an opportunity to be in a right relationship with him. God's love is excellent and it's gracious. As a matter of fact, as I learn more and more about him, that's when I open my prayers, I start off with gracious God. Because his grace and graciousness has so affected my life, my understanding, my ability to know what it is God has done, is doing, and shall do for all of us, that I can't help but say he's a gracious God. Gracious. For God so love the world. The word so, that two-letter word, can be translated, people, as gracious. For God graciously loved the world. So means that God, more than what was meet, more than what was necessary, gave us a love we did not deserve. So God's love is excellent in his graciousness. But then the second part of that says, the B section says, that he gave his only begotten son. That he gave his only begotten son. So that tells me God's love, number two, is extravagant. God's love is extravagant. Come on, somebody say with me, God's love is extravagant. Listen, here's what you need to know. God's love is so extravagant that he gave far beyond what he needed to give to redeem mankind. He gave his best and his all so that his creation could be redeemed back to him. And it's because of his extravagant love that he did so. It was Amy Carmichael who said, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. So true are those words, my brothers and sisters. And God loved us so much that he showed his love in an extravagant way. He is a giving God. He's extravagantly giving. All you gotta do is just look at all the ways he blessed your life. All you gotta look at is all the things that God has done for you that you didn't deserve. All you got to do is look at how God looked beyond your faults and met you. I can tell you, he's an extravagant giver. He's so extravagant, listen, that he sent the perfect person at the proper period to a problem people with a pure pardon, so that we would have peace that passeth all understanding, and could no one do it but his precious son, Jesus the Christ. If God is not extravagant in his giving, then tell me who is. He's extravagant in his giving. Can I tell you something? The more you love a person, the more extravagant you become in your giving. I know somebody might get in trouble after hearing this, but let me say it again. The more you love a person, the more extravagant you are in your giving. God has set the precedence. God has set the standard. God has shown us when you so love the world, when you so graciously love the world, you give extravagantly. Could anybody have given more extravagantly than God? Third thing I want you to see is that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God's love, number three, is excessive. Say with me, God's love is excessive. If you don't believe it's excessive, how many times have you asked God to forgive you for the same thing? Anybody gonna talk to me this morning?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
His love is so excessive that we who do not deserve anything from God, because we've not been what we should have been to God, has again given us the very best that heaven had to offer, and he didn't stop there. But he who gave us his best and his all has not withheld all the rest of the stuff that we have need of.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
He keeps on blessing me. Any witnesses in the house? Every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me. I wish I had some witnesses who could say, preacher, you're talking to me too here. He keeps on making a way out of no way. He keeps on lifting me up higher and higher. He keeps on doing great. He's excessive in his love. What does that mean? It means he's generous. His excessive love means God is generous. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. The great preacher John Wesley, who was a ship captain before he became a preacher, before he became saved, went to the African continent, brought back slaves from the African continent, brought them to America and sold them as slaves. On one journey, a storm arose so great that John Wesley figured they would not make it back to land. And he prayed and he asked God to save him. And if God would save him from this storm, that he would go to church and give his life to the Lord. And so God heard his prayer, saved him. And when he saved him, he gave up being a ship's captain, going and bringing back captive men to be slaves in America. And one day he was listening to a preacher preach, and he preached from John 3:16. He said, and I was okay with everything he said because I really didn't think he was talking about me until he got to this part. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He said, if the preacher would have said, John Wesley, if you believe in him, you shall not perish. I would have said there must have been another John Wesley in the house. He couldn't have been talking about me because of all of the dirty and low down and ruthless and diabolical things I've done. I know God couldn't save anybody like me. But when he said, whosoever,
all right, doctor,
believeth on him,
yes, sir.
Should not perish. I knew he was talking about me because he has excessive love. Generous to a fault. Doesn't matter if you're a drug addict or a drinker, prostitute or a pimp, gambler or ungodly. High sinner, low sinner, from the guttermost to the uttermost, his love is so generous that he can save anybody. Because he has excessive love, generous to a fault. And I have one more point and I'm closing. Then he says, but have everlasting life.
Yes, Lord.
And the fourth point is God has extraordinary love. Extraordinary love. Say, God has
extraordinary love.
Now listen, my brothers and sisters, because what I want you to understand is his love is so extraordinary that he took his only begotten son when he could have created a being for the purpose of coming down to planet Earth and saving humankind. He took his only begotten son, his best, his all, his only, and caused him to come to planet Earth and do what none other was able to do. Now listen at this. I know you know all of this, but what makes it so extraordinary is the fact that many of us would never do that if we were in his position. Some of us with a house full of children that rack our nerves and a whole lot of other things, wouldn't want to sacrifice one when all he had was one whom he sacrificed for all. That's extraordinary love. Extraordinary love. But what I need you to understand is he's, I told you, extravagant in his what? Giving. The Lord said in his word that he gave, but you need to know that his giving is present tense. I'm gonna survey the house right now. Is God still giving to you today? He gave his son, but he's still giving to us. And so at this extraordinary love of God, when he's through, listen at this, pardoning us through his excessive generosity, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. When God got through giving us pardon through his son, he turned around in this last part and presented us with a present. And the present was everlasting life. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. So his extraordinary love is a gift that he presented to us after we were pardoned. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Am I talking to anybody in the house? When we think of his goodness to us, when we take a little time out and walk back through the pages of our lives and think about how many times we could have been dead, sleeping in our grave, when we think about how many times we could have had things to go in a whole different direction than they went, when we think about we got ourselves in some mess that only God could get us out, it makes you wonder why he even bothers with us. But he has an extraordinary love. Stories told of a young orphan boy. His mother and father had been killed in an accident in this very small town. Everybody knew everybody. But he lived with his grandmother. And one day the house caught on fire. He was upstairs, she was downstairs. And when she awoke to hear the crackling of the fire and see the flames, she tried to run up the stairs to save him. But she perished in the fire. And the little boy raised up the second store window and he cried out, help, help, help. But the flames began to engulf the room. And that was a man passing by on the sidewalk who heard the young boy's cry for help. And he saw through the downstairs windows the flames coming out. So he knew he could not go through the front door. He knew he couldn't get in through the downstairs windows. So he crawled up the drain pipe to the second floor. And he came in through the window. And that was the little boy hiding under his bed. He called out for him. And the little boy with glee got up from under the bed. And the man stooped down and he said, grab my neck and hold on tight. The little boy grabbed his neck and held on real tight. And the man went to the window and he got down out of the window and he grabbed the drain pipe that was burning hot. And he held on to that hot pipe that was burning and scarring his hand as he went down. And when he got down to the bottom, he fell out. Paramedics and the firemen were there. Paramedics took him in. And the city officials took the little boy and they took him in the place of having someone to adopt him as a foster child, as a guardian parent, or as an adopted child, because he had no more family. And so several months later, there was an ad in the paper in a small town. Little orphan boy without a parent, without any family, needs someone to adopt him. And they set a court date, and in the court date were those persons with child care who came with him in court. And three people came. One was a farmer who came to adopt the boy. The other was a teacher who came to adopt the boy. And the third was a rich family that had come to adopt the boy. And all three of them presented their reasons why they should be the one that the judge would give custody to the child. Yes, yes, yes. The little boy looked at each one of them and he held his head down. Tears were flowing from his eyes. He said, and just a few minutes later, another man walked in the courtroom. All right, doctor. And he had his hands in his pocket. And when he got to the little boy, he pulled his hands out his pocket and reached for the little boy. And when the little boy saw his hands, he looked up in the man's eye, and it was the same man that climbed up that pipe and got into that window and told a little boy, grab hold to my neck and hold on tight. And he went there and going down that hot pipe scarred and marred all his hands up. And when the little boy saw the man's hands, he had tears of joy and grabbed his neck and held on to his neck. And when those who were there to adopt him, the farmer, the teacher, and the rich family, saw the love with which he held on to the neck of that man, they all turned and walked out the courtroom. And the judge said, the marred hands have decided the issue. My brothers and sisters, I'm just trying to tell somebody that God's love for us through that which he has done through his son has settled the issue. On a hill called Calvary, over 2,000 some years ago, Jesus' hands were marred and scarred when they drove nails in his hands and nails in his feet, put a thorny crown on his head, and pierced him in the side. And all of those were marks and scars that Jesus endured to rescue you and to rescue me. And all one day, one happy day, when I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info at greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org.